The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I'm your host, Rick Savoia. And during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment and comment line is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. There are many important aspects to owning and operating a computer business. Of all the day-to-day duties performed in any business operation, probably the least loved, most time-consuming, and critically important of all are administrative tasks, usually involving some sort of form submission, filing, management, or other paperwork. Work orders, contracts, service checklists, and invoices are things every professional needs to have for their business, but doesn't always have the time, experience, or patience to create from scratch. This week we'll talk with an IT professional who created computer business forms, legal documents, and marketing templates for his own business, and find out how you can use them in yours. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Microsoft announced last week that it plans to release Windows 8 Beta to the public in February 2012. The announcement was made at a developer conference in San Francisco December 5th. MakeUseOf.com is offering a free guide called How to Build Your Own Hackintosh. A Hackintosh is a plain vanilla, non-Apple computer that runs Apple's OS X operating system. The guide is free to qualified professionals. To obtain the guide, go to theforcefield.tradepub.com/free/w_make49 or click on the link in the show notes for this episode. MIPS Technologies announced the release of the world's first $99 tablet based on Android TM 4.0, also known as Ice Cream Sandwich. The new tablet features a 7-inch capacitive multi-touch screen, Wi-Fi, 3D graphics, and dual front-rear cameras. The tablet is now available in Asia and is expected to arrive in the U.S. within the next few months. And finally, a security bug on Facebook allowed users of the popular social media site to view personal private photos last month owned by none other than CEO Mark Zuckerberg himself. The bug allowed public access to photos marked private when a member was flagged on the site for posting inappropriate content. Facebook has often faced criticism and scrutiny over privacy and security issues, or the lack thereof, so it's ironic that the latest victim is the guy who runs it. In fact, it's so ironic, there's not much more I can say about it, except that, according to Facebook, they have since fixed the bug. So, there you go. And that's the news in the Force Field. Usually we have a commercial break where we showcase a specific, personally approved sponsor. This week we're going to take a break from that and spend a minute or two getting to know the ForceField.net. Although it is the official home of the Forcefield podcast, it is really much more. It's a web portal with news, blogs, resources, and reviews from inside the IT industry. There's the latest news releases from major tech companies, reviews of new products and services, blogs and discussions about trending topics in tech fields, and sources of information for learning the ins and outs of the IT industry. TheForceField.net also features the Force Field Forums, a community of techs who collaborate, support one another, and discuss the issues vital to their businesses. In addition, there are articles, books, videos, and access to free industry trade publications, such as periodicals, ebooks, and white papers, all there to help you learn more about the business of tech. Most of the resources inside the Force Field are accessible to members only. However, membership is free. To join, simply register at www.theforcefield.net. Join today and build your business inside the Force Field. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk or leave a comment for use in an upcoming episode, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. Work orders, contracts, service checklists, and invoices are important documents to have available for use in the daily operation of any business. Yet in the IT service industry, the need for such a form or document is one of those details that is sometimes overlooked, until the moment one is needed. While templates for business forms and other documents were available in the market for a very long time, most were designed for general business use. An IT business owner who needed a document for a specific purpose related to the industry usually had to beg, borrow, or buy a general template and heavily modify it, or create one from scratch. Enter Bryce Whitty. Bryce is the owner of TechNibble.com, a popular website created in 2006 to help technicians manage both the technical and business aspects of their companies. TechNibble features tips, tools, and other resources for techs in the business, by a tech in the business. One of these resources is a unique product designed to make every tech's job in the business a whole lot easier. Today we're going to talk with Bryce, learn about this resource, check in on its website, and find out how you can have the latest version of a kit that has it all. The Computer Business Kit. And we're talking to Bryce Whitty. Hi, Bryce. Welcome back to the Force Field.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Oh, just great. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad.
You know, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. And before we get started in today's discussion, why don't you just go ahead, for those who are new to the Force Field or those who haven't heard the previous episodes, just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm a computer technician. Been doing so for about 9 years or so now. I started when I was 17 and been going since then, really.
Now, you were originally based in Australia, correct?
Yes, I was originally based in Australia, but I have since moved to London. My fiance wanted to do the Australian thing of live and work in London, and I thought, well, I can handle. I've got a handful of clients, big clients that I can support remotely. I actually pitched that to him and said, "How would you feel about me doing this remotely?" And they thought, "Great, no problems." It actually works out better because time-wise. I can really sort of log in whenever I feel like it. And often, because British time is different to Australian time, I can actually do it when nobody's there. So I really don't disrupt their machines and everything's good to go 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. But all my sort of mum and pop clients, pretty much sold all them off and just sticking to a handful of really good paying clients. I suppose there's that rule that 80% of your income comes from 20% of your clients. Well, these clients that I still support are that 20%. And all the others are sort of, they were good work. They made good money, but they're a bit more work. The 80% of work.
Well, aside from your business, you also own technibble.com. And you started that, let's see, as I recall, you started Technibble in 2006.
Yes, that's correct.
Around there, yeah. And it's grown quite a bit since then. We're going to talk a little bit about Technibble later on in the episode. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about the computer business kit. Now, when we had you on the show last, we had discussed a little bit. And I think at the time we were at version, 1.4, if I remember correctly.
Sounds about right, yeah.
But you have since updated and upgraded the kit. And I think we're now at version 2.0. Is that correct?
2.1, I think it is, yes.
2.1, okay. Now, for those who are new to the force field or have never heard of the computer business kit, let's give them just a little bit of an overview. What is the computer business kit?
The computer business kit is a set of forms designed to help computer technicians stay a bit more organized, release a little bit of liability from their clients, but primarily it's mainly organization. I created it actually for my own business originally. What was happening, I was pretty much keeping notes on scraps of paper back in the day, and of course those get lost. I might have like a wireless password or a logon password, and I stick it in my pocket, and then I take my wallet out of my pocket, and then out goes the piece of paper, and then I ended up just having to call the client back and saying, what was your password? I'm sorry, I know you gave it to me, but that's pretty much what happens. From there, I started taking phone notes, but the problem was it was just as bad. It was all messy. I have about a million notes in my phone. I'm not too sure what belonged to which. So from there, I actually started creating some fairly makeshift forms. Nothing pretty. They just have a little bit of information. What's your name? What's your logon password? That sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. From there, I started using these in my own business, and they kept getting refined as I used them. One of them might have too little space in one area, too much space in the other area. So I reformatted them, made them work a little bit nicer. Good example as well, one of my very first versions didn't have an area for the logon password, which I was mentioning just before. Mm-hmm. But I figured I needed that, and it's like, well, I better add that in, and eventually built them up so they're actually quite well-rounded, field-tested, quite solid.
Now, you have a number of forms and a number of different documents in this kit total. What specifically is included in the kit?
It has a work order, which is pretty much just a work order saying, this is what I've done, this is the problem that you mentioned, and this is the solution, this is how much it costs, please sign here, pretty much saying, you're happy with my work. And the advantage of that is, if somebody debated, like said, okay, I don't want to pay you. It's like, well, I've got a work order here, and it says that you were happy with the work. So it helps you in that way. Has an engagement form, which is sort of pretty much telling users what can happen with the computer. So before you touch it, it says, especially when it's in a precarious position to begin with, if the hard drive's about to fail as it is, you touch it, and then it does fail, well, that's the nature of, that's the nature of computers, really. Bad things can happen, and we need to make sure that you have a backup before we even touch it. Has a backup checklist. This is one that was created by necessity as well in my own business. Was we go to reformat a computer, and the client, we have to ask the client, okay, what do you want backed up? Obviously, they're not going to remember everything. They'll probably tell you about their emails and maybe their favorites or something like that. But then you'll forget other things like, maybe the Internet Explorer favorites or something along those lines. So the backup checklist is a big list, and it pretty much allows you to go through it and you say, okay, what do you want backed up? Do you want your favorites? Yep. Do you want this backed up? Yep. Do you want your My Documents? Yep. What's your wireless password? What's your internet password? That sort of stuff. Just to make sure that you don't forget and then accidentally leave something behind. Reformat checklist, similar to the backup checklist, but it actually has more for actually putting stuff back on the machine, like making sure that you install the drivers, make sure you set up the wireless, that sort of thing. Internet and wireless settings. I mean, how many calls have we had where someone forgets you set up their router quite some time ago, they forget their passwords, and you're going to get a call asking.
That's very common. That's happened to me quite a bit. And you know what I used to do is I just used to keep a file on every customer and all of their settings. And whenever they, you know, whenever I had to reference it or they'd call me up and say, I forgot my password, I'd pull up their file and pull it out. You know?
this is one I actually leave with them and just we put it in a safe place, like, yeah, like a little folder like what you're talking about. But this is one they'd sort of keep at their place. I mean, I don't mind, you know, they call me up and I look it up. But when you've got so many clients, you just, it's constant calls and it's constant distractions. And it actually starts eating into sort of, your work time, because it takes time for your mind to get back into whatever you're doing. Computer pickup, pretty much saying, when I picked up your computer, there was a mouse, there was a CD, there was a bag, and there was a charger, for example. Just a way to take notes, mainly so the client later on can't say, oh, well, I gave you, there was a something in there, another mouse or something, and it's not there now. So it's a way to just take notes. Tune-up checklist, just a big list of basically things you should be doing in a tune-up, things you may forget, just mainly so you can remember. Got some marketing analysis, which allows you keep next to the phone, allows you to pretty much, when you take the phone call, it helps remember the question. So you write down the date it came in, you write down where it came from, and then some details.
This is quite a comprehensive package that you have together. I mean, you have the invoices, the new computer invoice, the laptop assembly sheets, payment overdue letters, even the market analysis, as you mentioned, computer repair work logs. And, you know, you have things like employee timesheets for people who have employees. Now, here's something that I thought was interesting. The customer satisfaction survey. You even have a customer satisfaction survey in this kit. That's interesting, because that's something that I've really never seen before from someone. But when you think about it, I think that's a very important tool to have, to use, to survey your customers, find out how you're doing, find out where you are in terms of your business.
Oh, of course. I mean, a big part of business is actually doing and then testing. And then if you're not actually testing and taking down notes of how you're doing, then, you know, you don't know what to change or what to keep, pretty much. And I mean, that form there is a piece of paper divided by three, and they can rate you from one to 10, kind of similar to what you may see in a restaurant. But another thing that I made sure was in it was there's an area that allows them to write down a testimonial. And then you can add that into your other marketing stuff, put it on your website. You know, whatever.
Well, it's a performance evaluation of your business, which I think personally every business should do periodically. It's very important to do that, because I've seen so many businesses where they just waltz through whatever they're doing and they think that everything's just fine because their customers aren't saying anything. But just because your customers aren't saying anything doesn't mean that your customer is necessarily happy with what you're doing with your work or with your company. And, you know, one day you wake up and customers are leaving and you're saying, well, what's going on here? You know, there may be something going on here. You need to do a self evaluation periodically, make sure your customers are happy, make sure you're delivering the best. And I think that's something that is omitted. And I've seen a few different types of packages like this, although, you know, yours by far is the best I've seen, in my opinion.
Thank you, thank you.
But I've seen a few others, and nobody ever enters, or I should say no one ever puts in a customer satisfaction survey. And I think that's unique. I think that's a very important tool to have.
Oh, of course. I mean, you think about when you go to a restaurant, you don't always say, you know, okay, the chips are a little dry and the salad was kind of wilted and it was all horrible. I may not come back. But unless you're actually tracking that information, then the restaurant just doesn't know. I mean, most people don't want to kick up a fuss and they'll just say, oh, I just won't come back. And unless you're tracking the information, then you just don't know, and you're losing customers, and you may find that you've lost hundreds of customers that way. But, you know, the one form that says, okay, you're not very good at this, you patch up that hole and not a problem.
And I've talked about this on the show before, you know, 90% of customers who are dissatisfied are not going to say anything. They're just going to quietly leave. It's the 10% that are going to be vocal about it. And that 10%, you definitely want to listen to them. But most customers aren't going to say anything because they're not going to bother with it. So if people aren't saying anything, it doesn't mean that you're doing great. It just means that, you know what, maybe I should make sure that that they're happy. But moving along, you have these forms up here, and I noticed that in this latest version that you have them in two different forms here. You have a version 2 and you have a classic version.
Yep. Well, version 1 was closer to the original set. Those were the ones I created in about 2007 or maybe 2008. It's a little bit younger than Technibble itself. Some people still like them, but the newer form's a lot better. But I don't want to take out the old ones. The new ones are a lot more complex. They look a lot better, but the older ones are a lot simpler if you really, really want to cut them up and make them look completely different. So I've kept both in there anyway and give people the choice, really.
Now, all these forms are designed to be modified, rebranded, used as actual templates in your own business. Is that correct?
Yes, I kept them all editable. They're all in either Word document or XLS. They've been tested in both Microsoft Word as well as open source options like OpenOffice. I mean, it's important to make them editable. People want to chuck their own logos up the top. They want to change, obviously want to change the name in their legalese to say, you know, you don't hold ABC Tech liable for whatever. Yeah, so there's marketing templates in there now as well. And same thing there. We wanted to keep a format, use a format that was open source. I mean, most people like PSD is a really common one. But the thing is, not a whole lot of software can actually open PSD. Photoshop can, but I think the most simplest license for that is about $700. So we use SVG, which can be opened in Inkscape, which is free. Or yep. if you have it, Adobe Illustrator, which is not free.
And I was going to mention that, too. In addition to the forms, you have marketing brochures, flyers, corporate identity packs, a lot of different documents that can be used to really market your business. And they're compatible with Adobe Illustrator and Inkscape. And for those who are not familiar with Inkscape, really, as Bryce mentioned, you know, it's an open source vector graphics editor. And it's a lot like CorelDRAW and Adobe Illustrator, and it uses the WC3 standard scalable vector graphics file format, the SVG file format. It's free, and you know how much I like free. You can't be free. So
exactly.
So it's not like you have to go out, as Bryce said, and buy Illustrator. You know, you can just download Inkscape, use it, and you're good to go. And, you know, Inkscape also is great for doing your own logos, your own banners and other graphics for your website and for your business in general. You know, and that's another topic for another discussion. But overall, you have that compatibility there. Your computer business kit is pretty much ready to go out of the box.
Yes.
There really isn't a whole lot that anybody needs to do to add on to that.
Yeah, to make it their own, make it have their own logo on that. We made it really easy. For example, any time in the legalese where it would say your business name, we've actually used some tags that actually just says business name. And what you can do is do it in Word or whatever package you're using. You can do a find and replace, so change the business name tag to ABC Computers or something like that, and pretty much change the whole document in one click.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Computer Business Kit, in addition to all the documents and the forms, you have a couple of other features in this kit that are also unique. You have, for one thing, you have a list of suppliers,
mm-hmm.
and you have a list of, discounts for various products and services, like you've got discounts for Commit CRM, MHelp Desk, Screen Connect, PodNuts laptop repair videos, super anti-spyware, and a number of others. And you have a list of recyclers on there where you can take your hardware, the old hardware, things that the recyclables people that hand you old computers and that sort of thing to where you can dump them off. You have quite an extensive set of features here in this list. And as I understand, it's divided into four regions, Australia, Canada, the UK, and the US, so that where you live in each of these regions, you have those sources available to you. That's a lot of work. You put a lot into this.
Oh, yeah. It took months and months and months to, like, just going from the old version to the new version took absolutely months and months. It was, but I think it was worth it in the end. It came out. I'm pretty happy with how it came out.
Now, I take it that you also update that list periodically. People that buy the kit can get updates on the list periodically.
Yep. We're constantly adding new things. I think the next thing that we're lined up for is adding a bit more of some more marketing material. But if you have version 2, then you can log in and get access to the most recent version of version 2. And, yeah, it just comes down and all you need to do is keep your payment details. Just basically just to prove that you did pay for it and download the new copy, and there it is. You got the new documents.
That's great. Now, for everyone listening, I know that, you know, it sounds like, oh, wow, he's really endorsing this product. And to be honest, I am. I'm going to tell you, disclaimer here, I am personally endorsing this product. I have it. I've looked through it. I like it. And I feel comfortable putting my own personal endorsement on it. I think it's worth the money. You know, having said that, the reason I'm mentioning this is because I got raked over the coals for the two-part episode we did on Work Market, where I had Jeff Leventhal on, and we were discussing the Work Market platform, and everybody just took me to task on it because they said, well, you know, how much are they paying you? It sounded like a paid endorsement. It was not. It was not. We had Jeff on. We discussed Work Market, and we even discussed issues and questions that Tex had with it. Having said that, I promised everyone, if there's an endorsement, if I'm going to make a personal endorsement, I'm going to let you know up front. And I'm letting you know up front that I do like the kit. And yes, if you order the kit, you purchase the kit from theforcefield.net, and we have it available. We have a link to it in the show notes for this episode of The Force Field. You purchase it, yes, a portion of that will go to help support theforcefield.net. It'll help support the show, which we could really use. We could really use the support for the show. So having said that, I said my disclaimer, my full disclosure, and we can move on.
Well, the product itself has a 30-day no questions asked refund policy. So if you do find it's actually not for you, then tell me within 30 days, not a problem, all your money back. So, and it may not be for everyone, but, yeah, if that's the case, then I want you to have your money back.
And I think that's very generous. I think that's a good policy. Bryce, let's talk a little bit about Technible. You launched the site, as we mentioned before, in 2006, and it's grown a lot since then. How's Technible doing these days? What's going on the site?
Going along very good, actually. The forums are busier than ever. More articles, different style of content. It used to originally just be me. It was almost sort of a bloggy format that, and a lot of it was based off my own experiences. Now, because I'm not doing a lot of on-site stuff that I used to be doing, obviously my experiences are going to be significantly less. It's just not as, there's just not a whole lot more experiences happening that I can actually write about. So I brought on other writers, and the great thing is I can tap into their experiences as well, and people can learn from their different angles. So some advantages of just hearing from different people from different walks of life doing different things in the tech world, and everyone can sort of get a bit of a more of a complete picture of things. The site gets quite busy. It's I had to put it on cloud servers now, just because my old single dedicated server was just constantly tipping over from the load. So it's going well.
Well, I'm also a member of the TechNibble forums and log in whenever I get a chance. I'm usually pretty busy with the Forcefield forums and such, but whenever I get a chance, I do log in and contribute where I can. And people say, well, you know, you already have your Forcefield forums, and you know, you're in TechNibble and the other tech forums too. There's a difference, first of all, with the Forcefield and the TechNibble sites, in the sense that TechNibble is really, it's a great source for techs who are in the business of doing tech. And of course, the Force Field is the business of tech. The difference is that the force field is really designed more to be a portal where you can find the resources like Technibble. It's not supposed to be a resource. In a sense, it is a resource itself, but it's really not designed to be a full resource like Technibble is. It's designed to be a place where you can find Technibble and the other resources out there. So really more of a repository of everything.
Yeah, one-stop shop for text.
Having said that,
tech information.
Yeah, and having said that, I encourage everyone to visit Technibble and join up if you're not already a member and see what's going on, see what Bryce and company have over there. Before we go, we're running out of time here today, Bryce, but before we go, would you like to give everyone the link to Technibble and how they can contact you?
Yep. The link to Technibble is www.technibble.com. They can contact me through the contact form that's on the bottom of, there's a link at the bottom of most Technibble pages, and I always respond.
Well, Bryce, I really appreciate having you on the show again today. Appreciate the time you've taken out to visit us on the force field. And we want to have you on the force field again sometime soon. So let's keep in touch on that.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for inviting me on.
Not a problem. And I encourage everyone to check out the Computer Business Kit. And even if you don't, go ahead and check out Technibble as well. It's a great site. Bryce, thanks a lot. And you have a great day.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the force field be with you.